In 1989 or 1990, when my daughter Katie was in kindergarten, my family took a trip to the Twin Cities and visited the Bell Museum of Natural History. When we saw the museum's passenger pigeon display, her eyes grew wide studying the splendid birds, so huge and colorful compared to the mourning doves she knew so well. She told me she couldn't wait to add that one with its rosy body and blue wings to her life list. When I gently told her that the passenger pigeon is extinct, that people had killed every one long ago, she broke down sobbing. I don't know which emotion was stronger in her, sorrow that she'd never see a live passenger pigeon, or impotent fury at the avarice and bloodlust of her own species. I knew exactly how Katie felt because when I was about her age, my grandpa told me about passenger pigeons. He was born in 1896 and had never seen one, but he remembered the stories his father and grandfather told him about what was once the most abundant land bird in the entire world. He told me stories about the huge flocks that blackened the skies, how when they descended upon a forest, their sheer weight broke heavy limbs of sturdy trees. By the time my grandpa was a little boy, the last wild pigeons had been killed. Just one remained alive, a female named Martha living in the Cincinnati Zoo. When she died in 1914, my grandpa read about it in the newspaper. My grandpa's warm cheek against mine was my only defense against the horror of realizing what bad things my own species was capable of. He told me that killing animals is not wrong. All the meat we eat comes from animals. What seemed wrong to him was killing more than anyone could possibly use and finding it fun. I don't think my grandpa thought hunting was wrong, though he never owned a gun and I think was unable to fathom killing anything for sport after his experiences in World War I. It was on his knee that I formed my moral code, which is probably why avarice, that lust to possess more than one could possibly use, seems to be a sin of the highest order. By the time I was in college in the 1970s, wildlife managers were starting to claim that it wasn't overhunting that doomed the passenger pigeon, but rather the loss of eastern forests to agriculture and development. I'd read a lot of accounts of excessive hunting, even Audubon himself, who killed far more birds than sports hunters of today could possibly take, believed that pigeon hunting at the levels he was seeing was dooming the species. I tried to be scientific about it, knowing that many accounts of the hunting were anecdotal and realizing just how important habitat is. But I couldn't shake my strong emotional sense that overhunting was still the primary cause of the passenger pigeon's extinction, and I was skeptical of the people putting all the blame on habitat loss because they were hunters or were funded by hunting licenses, so naturally would want to deflect public concerns about hunting as other species, such as sage grouse, bobwhites, and prairie chickens, declined ominously but were still being hunted, giving the lie to the idea that under modern management, hunters take only the surplus population. This marks the 100th anniversary of the death of Martha, the last passenger pigeon on our planet. And we're getting new information, again focusing on the excessive, avaricious overhunting of the species, along with an exhaustive treasure trove of authoritative information about the species and how habitat loss and other factors also contributed to its demise, thanks to an extremely important book that just came out. Next time, I'll review Joel Greenberg's astonishingly fine work, A Feathered River Across the Sky, The Passenger Pigeon's Flight to Extinction. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.